Similarly, in the great medieval cathedrals, cathedral comes from the word cathedra, which means the bishop's seat, so the cathedral would be in the central church of a diocese. In the great cathedrals that spread across Europe, we find in architecture exhibits for the Christian story in carvings and in stained glass. Even in the use of the gospel book, we find the outlet for Christian art. Remember, before the invention of printing, all books were copied by hand. Therefore, they were manuscripts. And in such magnificent examples as the Book of Kells, which was adorned by Celtic monks, we find exquisite artistic representations in the careful calligraphy and in the adornment of the initial letters that begin books and paragraphs. Similarly, the stained glass windows of the cathedrals were famously called the People's Bible because they represented the various gospel stories in vivid pictorial fashion. And I remind you of the power that such pictorial representations have. If any of you have seen the movie Armistead, you'll remember there is that marvelous scene in which the African slaves cannot read, but they see the pictures of the story of Jesus that are found in an illustrated Bible, and they figure out what the story means and are deeply moved by the story simply because of these pictures. Carvings. Within the church and outside the church, especially over the portal of the cathedral, frequently represented the communion of saints. All of the various Christians who had accomplished that goal of Christianity, which was personal transformation. Finally, the liturgy of the Eucharist was in effect the cultural form of drama. It had become spectacular performance, which was put on by the clergy in costume, in vestments and so forth, in a foreign language, increasingly Latin, and was observed by the rest of the people. And as I mentioned in an earlier presentation, the high point of the Eucharist in the medieval period was not the consumption of the bread and the wine, the eating as at a meal, but rather the showing of the host as a representation of transubstantiation, that through the almost magical words of the priest, ordinary bread and wine were truly changed into the body and blood of Christ. And this was one reason why ordinary Christians grew more and more fearful of actually sharing in that meal, because they felt unworthy of taking on such a great honor. Historians of drama also credit the scene of the gospel at the empty tomb when the women come to seek the body of Jesus was as a very early development of dramatic form. It's called the Quem Quaeritis. Whom do you seek? The angel says, and the women respond, and that dialogical form begins to construct the form of drama. And finally, in music, the development of Gregorian chant, which was sung a cappella without any instrumental accompaniment, both at the Mass or the Eucharist and in the Divine Office, that is, in the periods of prayer by which monks sang the Psalms every day as a form of worship to God, we find the development of music on the one side, very beautiful music, but on the other side of scriptural interpretation. Because these musical settings also offered genuine interpretation of the words of Scripture, much as opera does with the libretto. And indeed, many parts of the Eucharist, the antiphons, the canticles, and so forth, represent very intricate readings and understandings of Scripture.